to men ever singing. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Let's make our way to some place close to a chair, if we could, please. And I'd like to say welcome to all of you watching online this morning. It's good to have you. So let's stand.
Sing praise. Good morning. We'd like to welcome you. We'd like to welcome those online, as Austin has already done that. So before we have our Advent season come through, come up, I'm going to read a portion from the Jesus storybook. This is a children's book, but yet there's some profound things that we've been discovering as we've been going through it. And as I read the first time, there was a portion in the story that said the following. And here's what it said. It said that there are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories tell one big story. The story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. And that means that as you go through the Old Testament, you will find that these stories reflect who God is and that it's pointing to the Son. And so, you know that Moses was a baby that was delivered, right? That was hidden. And then there's going to come another baby that we're celebrating at Christmas time. But this story begins when Moses was already an adult and he had already rescued the people from Egypt. And it says the following. God called Moses up to the mountain. The great mountain shook, a thick cloud fell, thunder roared, lightning crackled, and God gave Moses 10 rules called commandments. I wanted you to love me more than anything else in all the world and know that I love you too. Do you know that he loves you too? God told them that's the most important thing of all. And he goes on to say, God gave them other rules like don't make yourselves pretend gods. Don't kill people or steal or lie. The rules showed God's people how to live, how to be close to him, and how to be happy. They showed him how life works best. God's promises to always love after you. I'm sorry, to look after you. Moses said, will you love him and keep his rules? And the people said, yes, we will. We promise we will. But they were wrong. They couldn't do it. No matter how hard they tried, they could never keep God's rules all the time. God knew they wouldn't, or they couldn't. And he wanted them to know it too. The only one person that could keep all the rules was Jesus. And many years later, God would send him to stand in their place and to be perfect for them. Because the rules couldn't save them. Only God could save them. All right, so we would like to invite the Love family.
A heart. A heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength.
Good job. Madison's turn. Madison needs that.
God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him.
Amen.
Thank you. gift because of God's gift to us.
Thank you so much.
So we see that we have a crown that belongs to the Prince of Peace, and we see a heart that means that God is giving his heart to us by giving us his Son.
Amen. Oh, we're so blessed to have a Father in heaven that loves us enough to give us these gifts.
Yes, we
are. And the Lord keeps loving us. And this morning, I have a little thing to share with you all out of his word. And I'd invite those of you that are able to please stand. And guys that are back in the sound booth, if you're comfortable with this, if you could come out and join us as a congregation. And if you're comfortable with this, I invite you to lift your hands. If you're not, if you can just at least turn them up in your laps. I want to read for you a passage that you've all heard, read many, many times out of John 4, verses 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. I'm going to read that again. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Now, I know some of us here are probably going, what in the world does that mean? Worship in the Spirit. Keep your hands up. That's an act of receiving. And the Lord is going to start downloading to each of us here this morning. And as this happens, we're just going to start singing. You can join us when you want. But if the Lord, and this is going to happen to a few of you, if the Lord gives you a specific scripture, okay, the intention of that scripture is to edify the body, okay? So find the scripture and read the scripture. We don't want any narration, any commentary. Just read what the Lord gives you, okay? Is that clear? All right. So we want to worship the Father in the Spirit.
It's time for the sleeper to wake. It's time for the old winds to change. Time for the Spirit say it's time.
Let's repeat that again. It's time for the sleeper to wake.
It's time for the sleeper to wake. It's time for the old winds to change. I hear the Spirit say it's time.
It's time for the dead man to rise.
It's time for the dead man to rise. It's time for the great light to shine. I hear the Spirit say it's time. Clean white new heavenly days. Let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in. Come right in. On your people's praise. Let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in.
Verse 1. It's time for the sleeper to wake.
It's time for the sleeper to wake. It's time for the old winds to change. I hear the Spirit say, arise. It's time for the great light to shine. I hear the Spirit say it's time. Fling wide you heavenly gates. Let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in. Come riding on your people's praise. Let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory
wide.
Fling wide you heavenly gates. Let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in. Come riding in on your people's praise. Let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in. Let the light in, open up the windows, let the light in,
let the light in,
let the light in, open up the windows, let the light in,
open up the windows,
let the light in,
open up the windows,
let the light in,
let the light in,
let the light in,
open up the windows,
let the light in,
open up the windows,
let the light in,
open up the windows,
let the light in,
let the light in.
Let the light in, open up the windows, let the light in,
open up the windows,
let the light in,
open up the windows,
let the light in,
let the light in,
let the light in.
Fling wide you heavenly gates,
let the King of glory in,
let the King of glory in,
come riding on your people's praise. Let the King of glory in.
Let the King of glory in.
Let the light in, open up the windows,
let the light in,
open up the windows,
let the light in,
let the light in,
let the light in. Fling wide you heavenly gates,
let the King of glory in,
let the King of glory in,
come right in on your people's praise.
Let the King of glory in.
Let the King of glory in.
You have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know my downsitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You sift and you search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways.
Thank you. strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Amen.
Amen.
A thousand may fall at your side. Psalms 91.
Psalms 91, 10, 7. A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot.
Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the peoples will come and worship before you.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I have sent you into exile.
Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies you with good things, so your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Thank you all for stepping out in faith and edifying each of us by these words of life. Amen. Please be seated. We're gonna end with a Christmas song. A little bit on the newer side, even though it's been around a few years, you may not know.
What hope we hold this starlit night, a king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger. what fear we felt in the silent age. 400 years, can he be found? But broken by a baby's cry, rejoicing the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate, here to dwell. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, praise his name, Emmanuel.
All right, so back to verse 1. What hope we hold this starlit night, a king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years, can he be found? But broken by a baby's cry, rejoicing the
before Judy begins.
Go ahead. Whoops, sorry.
Push that.
I just wanted to make you aware that we've created cards like these that say, Merry Christmas, You're invited to a Christmas Eve service Thursday, December 23rd. There's a stack of them back there. They're not just for you to put on your fridge, but they're for you to invite others to come to that special service on a Thursday night. And on the back of it says that we will start at 7 p.m. It's only 1 hour. It's going to be a short service. But join us to celebrate the reason for the season, Christ our Savior, with Christmas songs, scripture readings, Advent candles, and a candle lighting ceremony. And there are many other things that are not mentioned. But we'd like you to take one home and invite someone for that special, you know, they may only come to church one time a year, but they need to have exposure to the good news. So, you want to pray? You want me to pray?
You can pray.
Okay. So, Father God, I just thank you for my wife. I thank you, Lord, that you've placed a message on her heart. And God, you love to speak to our hearts. And as we read this morning in Psalms 5, that we wait before you to speak to our hearts. Yes. Father, that we would say yes to your word. Let it come and find fertile ground and take on 100-fold in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Okay. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everyone?
Yes.
Yes, blessed. Amen. Welcome to Dottie and Marty. We had a wedding here yesterday. Congratulations. We are happy you're here. Bless the Lord. So as I start this morning with what I felt the Lord was sharing with me, I'm going to repeat some things. I'm one that needs repeating because I forget really easily. When I first started working for Patty and Kevin, Patty remembers a lot of things, and so does Kevin. And half the time, they would ask me something. I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember. So anyways, repeating for me reminds me of what God wants to say. So you're going to hear me repeating the same thing this morning so that it sticks in your heart and you take it home with you. So the title of this sermon is God Has a Plan.
Amen.
God has a plan for you and your life. God has a plan. You can count on it. It's the currency of today. You can take it to the bank. God has a plan for your life. You know, from the beginning of time, he knew your name.
Amen.
He knew who you were from the beginning of time. When you were in your mother's womb, before you were born, he knew you. And he has the plan. So do you believe God has a plan for you?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. God has a plan. Sometimes in the way things have been happening, you question, does really God has a plan? You know, we can be tired, wearied, overwhelmed. We think with the things that are happening on this earth, does God really has a plan? Let's say it together. God has a plan for me, for each and every one of you. We should be confident that God sees us. We need to know that he sees us for who we are. You know, there's only one Walt. There's only one Phil. There's only one Brian. There's only one Bob. There's only one of you, and God chose you from the beginning of time. Kevin, would you read Jeremiah 29:11?
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Did you hear that? That was part of my sermon. Did you hear it earlier this morning?
Yes.
God has a plan. Amen. And he has a hope and a future for you. Can we repeat that together? If you know it. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That has been my scripture. Whenever I start not believing the plan that God has for me, I declare that over myself and remind myself that God has a plan. You know, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you're struggling with, God has a plan. So take that with you this morning. That one of the things that we don't see is, you know, when you have children and you are planning, let's say, a trip to the zoo, you don't tell your children 2 or 3 or 4 weeks in advance, right? Why? Because every single day, what will they ask? Is it today? Is it today? Or even if you're going, let's say you're going to Disney or you're going to the water park, do the parents tell the children?
Only when we're done.
Done. Only when we're done. Yes. So again, God has the plan, but he doesn't tell us way ahead of time. He tells us when it's ready and it's the time for us to know. But we have to believe that God has a plan. You know, God had a plan for Abraham. Do you know what it was? Father of many nations, right? And at the time, he didn't have any children. The Lord had a plan for Moses. Anything? Any recollection of why kind of plan? What kind of plan did God, the Lord had for Moses? To lead his people out of Egypt, right? He ran away and went to the desert, got married, and was what? A shepherd. And he didn't want God's plan. Until how did the Lord show up? How did God show up? Burning bush. I mean, making him aware. God had a plan for Noah, who built an ark when there was no rain. Right? And you know what his plan was? He allowed the Lord to shut him in. Do we allow the Lord to shut us in for our safety? So God had a plan for Joseph and Mary and Peter and Paul. But you know one of the things in that plan that they had to do? Can you just tell me? What? They had to obey? First of all, they had to say yes. Yes, Lord, to your plan and to your ways, even when we don't understand. Even when it doesn't make sense. Brian, would you read Ephesians 1:11?
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will.
According to the plan. According to the plan. Meaning, he has the plan. That's how we were saved. It wasn't like one day we decided, oh, I'm going to go to church and get saved. He pursued us. He had a plan from the beginning of time. And if you keep reading Ephesians 1, it shows us how he has selected us and how he has given us salvation. So it's not my plan, but it's the plan of God. And I just want to remind you, we are part of God's plan. Every single one of them. Every single one of us are an integral part of the plan of God. So today I would like to talk about Joseph. There's a lot of times we don't focus on Joseph, but today I feel like the Lord was saying to me, let's talk a little bit about who Joseph was. And God had a plan. And it might not have been Joseph's plan, but the Lord had a plan. And he used the man that said yes to the Lord. He was the father, the adopted father of Jesus. He was the husband of Mary. He was a man that believed what the angel said. You know, when an angel comes and visits you, how do you think he felt? Freaked out? Afraid? What a lot of the angel visitations was, do not be afraid. Wasn't it? I bring good news. Do not be afraid. And yet with Joseph, it says he saw the angel in a dream. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you are some of the things that we don't talk about Joseph. If he wouldn't have said yes, the Lord would have used someone else. He wouldn't have been the father of Jesus. The Lord would have used. So for me, what the Lord is saying, I need to say yes to the plan and the call over my life, or he will find someone else. Doesn't mean that nullifies me, but it means that the Lord has a purpose and a plan, and he's going to see it happen. And so Joseph and Mary in the Christmas story had a choice. You know, we have the end story, right? We know how it ends. We know that they had baby Jesus, and baby Jesus grew up to be a man after God's heart, his son. He gave his life for you and me, for one of us. But they didn't have the end story. So the angel came to Mary, and what did she say? Let it be done unto me according to your will. And what did Joseph do? I want to give you a couple of things before I read the scripture about when Joseph saw the angel. We know that Joseph was from Bethlehem. And why do we know that? Anyone? Yep, he had to return to Bethlehem for the census. So Luke 2:4 says that. He returned to Bethlehem for the census. We know that he was expecting the Messiah. We know that. He was a Jew. He was raised a believer, a Christian, a Jew. And so he was expecting a Savior. He was considering divorcing Mary quietly. What does that say about him? He was a man of integrity. He was a man after his word, that he stood for what he said. You know, in old times, being engaged wasn't just, I'm going to pick out my napkins and my silverware and my plate. It was a covenant. It was a contract. The dowry had been paid. Mary and Joseph were pretty much married. All they were waiting was for the wedding day. They were married. So for him to leave her was divorcing her was, I mean, to not fulfill the engagement, it was divorcing her. And one of the things that I felt like he would have to choose shame. Either way, he was choosing shame. If he left Mary and divorced her, people would say he got her pregnant and he abandoned her. If he stayed with her, it was shame because he got her pregnant before they were married. So again, the voices, the people, the talking about them. So I felt like he was a man of his word and he was a wise man. He was a carpenter. As we think at this day and age, we don't think much of he's a carpenter. But he was a man that had a trade, and he used it to provide for his family. And he trained Jesus in that. And he adopted Jesus as his own. He raised Jesus as his own child. And I want to read Matthew 1, 18 to 25. If you want to look up Matthew 1, 18 to 25, and this is what it says. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, is faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. We sang about that this morning, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, listen carefully, when he woke up, what did he do? He left her. What did he do? He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He did what the angel of the Lord had told him to do. Joseph did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. And many times I feel like we in our lives have a plan. We have a plan and we say, hey, God, will you join me in my plan? We have a plan and we say, hey, I know a better way than you do. And so we live our lives for ourselves. Sometimes that doesn't work really well, does it? And so I felt like the Lord was saying, my plans are better than your plans. Will you join me in the plan that I have for you? And Joseph became Mary's husband. Joseph provided for Jesus a safe place. And you know, the next portion of Jesus' life, the angel again appeared to Joseph. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the angel again told him to go to Egypt to save Jesus. What would have happened if Joseph wouldn't obey? Life would have been a little bit more difficult, different than what it turned out to be. And so I feel like the Lord was saying to each and every one of us, are you following my plan? Or are you creating your own plans and asking me to join yours? Today, we have invited a couple who I believe have a pretty powerful testimony about how the Lord has called them. And my sharing with you, it's a little bit shorter because I wanted to make sure to give them time to share where they have been, where the Lord brought them from, and where the Lord is taking them. And it's a testimony of following the plan and the call that God has placed over their lives. You know, at times we don't understand. We don't understand at all why are things happening the way they're happening. But then there's faith. And then there's believing that God is good, that God is faithful, and He will see us through. So I want to welcome Joshua and Nadine Yates to share their testimony with us.
Check, check. Good morning. Good morning. My wife, Nadine, my little girl, Ellie, my little boy, Caleb. My wife's going to stay back there and just kind of take care of the kids for a little bit. Because anytime I come up front and my wife is not back there, my daughter will freak out and run up here. And yeah, I did it at a wedding one time. I'm up there and I'm doing a wedding and my daughter's like, ah. So, well, thank you so much for having me. Good morning. I just want to share a scripture that was on my heart. I've got three scriptures, but ultimately I'm here to share a testimony, but the Lord is good. Amen. Give me 1 second. Here we go. My scripture is John 10:10. You know, sometimes going along with this, sometimes the hardest part is saying yes. You know, sometimes the hardest part is, what is the Lord going to do with me? You know, but when you do relinquish your will to Him, the Bible says in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly. When you follow Jesus, you have no idea what your life is going to look like, but it will be blessed and it will be more abundant and the provision will be there. And I could just be here all day sharing about what the Lord has done just for me saying yes. But to share my testimony, our testimony, it kind of starts with me. I grew up around here. I grew up actually going to Grace Community Church when it was over by the dentist office, like a long time ago. And that's kind of the church that I was in. And went into high school and, you know, I tried to fit in with the crowd and kind of started going away from the Lord, and I always knew in my heart that, you know, I love Jesus, but you know how it is. I wanted to fit in. I was a small kid. I got picked on a lot, so then that was hard, and so fitting in was kind of a big deal for me. And so basically, I kind of got into the party scene in high school, and it was kind of a downhill spiral from there. Except one of my best friends, his mom, they actually went to River of Life, and she was like, if you guys want to hang out this weekend, you have to go to this little youth conference. So we go to this youth conference, and we just went to one night. And this guy, he called me out. I'm just going to share it all. So we had actually been drinking on the way to go up to this thing, you know. We're these young, dumb teenagers. So drinking to go up to this thing, and I'm sitting in the back, and I've already had like 4 or 5 beers, and this guy calls me out, and he's like, you know, he gives me a word, and it was, he literally told me things about my life that nobody else would know. And I'm like, who's this guy? Why is he following me? How does he know these things about my life? But at the end, he tells me that I'm called to preach. And that word never left me. I'm not saying that my life changed. I'm not saying that I gave my yes right there. But it stuck with me, and I kept going. I kept going, and drugs got involved. I went into college. Drugs got involved. I got involved in a relationship. I was with this girl for 4 years. Finished college. Bought a house in Syracuse. Didn't do anything with my college. Ended up jumping in the RV factory, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Well, next thing you know, my ex left. And it was just me in a house, a lot of hurt, and I didn't run to Jesus. I ran to the drugs, and suicidal at my worst. Like, I wanted to end it all. And I was working at Forest River, and this guy comes up, and he goes, it was his first day, and he was part of Revive. But it was his first day. He comes up. He doesn't say a word to me. He says, you know that you're called to preach. And that word that had never left me just smacked me right in my spirit. And I knew it was the Lord that was, you know, reaching out to me. And so I gave my yes that day. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what this looks like, but I know that the way that I'm doing my life, it's not working out. And I am not happy. Deep depression at that time. So I give you, I'm going to come to you. And I gave up all the drugs, all the alcohol. It was kind of hard for me to get rid of the cigarettes at first. And then we ended up going. That guy discipled me for probably over a year, just under a year. And we went to, he had a dream that we were supposed to go to Dubai, you know, for a small town Indiana boy. That's a little weird, you know. And I had never been, you know, and he was very much charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it, full gospel. And so this is the first time that I've encountered dreams and interpret. I'm like, bro, you're crazy. I'm not going all the way over there. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if I'm supposed to go, I need the money. And so the money came in, and I knew that I was supposed to go. So I go, I'm going to kind of paraphrase a lot of this because this story we could be here all day. But basically I went, didn't do a whole lot of ministry, but I met my wife in the airport on the way home. And my wife, she was Catholic. She wasn't living for the Lord. She was actually in Dubai partying with her friends. And basically we spoke for 45 minutes. She went back to England. I went back to the States. We were messaging. She had some extra paid leave, and she wanted to come and visit me in the States, so she came. And when she said that, the Lord told me that she was going to be my wife. She wasn't even really, like, you know, following the Lord. And I basically told the Lord no, but he continued to confirm it over the next 24 or so days. So 24 days after we met, she landed in Chicago, and I asked her to marry me. And she said yes. She was here for a week, and I'm paraphrasing for sake of time, but she was here for a week. She gave her life to the Lord, and then she had to go home. Well, obviously I knew that this was what the Lord was doing in my life. I knew that I had a call of God, and I told her that. And so she was very new to this thing too. So basically, my vision was to go there. After about a month, I had a really bad motorcycle accident. It was February. There was snow on the ground, and all of a sudden it hit 50 degrees for like 3 days. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to get on my motorcycle. Well, I had a bad motorcycle accident. All the insurance money, everything came in, and it was a pretty good check. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go see my woman. So I went, picked her up, brought her back with me, and we went down. My mom and dad were going to spring break, and I knew that there was a ministry down there that the Lord connected me somehow through Revive when we went to Chicago with Revive. And I said, man, I think we need to go there. And my wife was like, yeah, we can go. You know, if you want to do your business, if you want to do your, you know, call of God thing, I'll do business. You know, that's how it is. Well, I'll support you in that. Yeah. And you know how well that went. So we get there, and Nadine has an encounter that marked her for eternity. I mean, to this day, she hasn't had an encounter with the Lord like that. To the point where, like, she wouldn't even be able to talk. She couldn't even talk the rest of the night. She had an encounter so powerful. And the next morning, she woke up and she said, I don't know what that is, but we have to do it. And so all of a sudden, she had her yes. And so we, you know, met with the dean. The dean said, we've always felt called. When we met, we felt like we were going to move back to the Middle East, to move to Dubai. So that was always something that was in our hearts. The Lord did that while I was there. It really birthed the call of God in me, was the main reason that I was there. And so we felt called. We sat down with the dean, and he was like, yeah. Well, it's really funny because 3 days ago we were praying for students who were feeling called to go to the Middle East, and now you sit here. So we're going to give you a full ride scholarship. And we left there like, God, what are you doing? Like, I own a house back in Indiana. There's just so much stuff. And I was just like, God, what are you doing with my life? But we just continued to say yes. It isn't always easy. It wasn't always easy. These last 5 years we went, or 4 years we went to Bible school, you know, there's a lot of, we had just met, we're going to Bible school, the marriage side of things was sometimes very difficult because the Lord was literally stripping all this stuff away from us. You know, she's newly saved, I'm basically newly saved, and we're learning and the Lord's stripping all this stuff away, so then you're trying to get to know somebody who you're married to, and it was a season, you know. And so basically, first year Bible school, we're great. I'm not saying we're not great. We're great. But I just want to share, like, it wasn't always easy. Like, just because, like, some people may think, well, Josh, you know you're called. Look at what the Lord has said to you. Look at how he's done it. Just because I'm called doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that you get a free run up the side. You know what I mean? We still had to learn. We still had to go through. We're still human. You know, there's one of my favorite evangelists. He literally had an angel come before him when he was just little. And I'm like, God, like, he knew he was called this whole time. He's like, Josh, you know you're called. He didn't have a free run up the side either. You know, it doesn't matter how you hear what God is saying or trying to get your yes. It doesn't matter how it is. If it takes you reading a scripture to say, oh man, I feel that in my spirit. Yeah, I'm going to give my yes. That's awesome. God didn't have to send an angel for you to get your yes. You know, that's awesome. So anyways, first year Bible school, the Overland Missions, I'm just going to share this part. Overland Missions came and they were sharing their vision about how they go after the forgotten people of this world, the people that nobody else goes to. And I knew in my heart, I said, that's what we're called to do. And my wife was like, absolutely not. So God had my yes, but he didn't have hers. But we still had 2.5 years of Bible school left. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not going to go and do the next step unless we're in unity. So you have to speak to her, and she needs to tell me that that's the next step. So 2.5 years later, we're sitting at Mayberry Cafe in Elkhart because we were back up visiting family, and I'm like, Nadine, what do you think we're supposed to be doing? You know, this season's coming up to an end. What do you think? And she goes, well, you know, I really have been thinking a lot lately. I think we're supposed to go to Zambia. And that's where Overland Mission's main base is. And I'm like, yeah, that's the Lord. Because that the Lord brought everything back to remembrance that that's what we're supposed to do. You know, I said, if I will know that it's you if my wife tells me, you know, because then she gives her yes. And so that's what we're doing. We went with Overland Missions we were in Africa for 3 months, smack dab in the middle of COVID. We saw amazing miracles, signs, and wonders. I mean, my wife prayed for a man who was blind, and he regained his sight. You know, amazing things. Actually, this is I'm going to share this part too. Part of the yes that my wife did, it's so powerful because when I went to pick my wife up, when I had my accident, I went to pick my wife up. Her mom had stage 4 cancer. She was fighting stage 4 cancer. And Nadine, her mom and dad weren't together. Nadine was basically the primary breadwinner of the house. She left her mom with stage 4 cancer. Some may say that that's mean or ruthless but she left because she knew that this is what the Lord was doing in her heart. So first year Bible school, our first class is Christ the Healer. So she's still battling stage 4 cancer. We're going through this class. She calls us and she says, chemo's not working. They're going to put me on radiotherapy. So we said, okay, well, we're believing for healing, you know. And like a month later, she calls and she's crying hysterically. She's like, nothing's working. The radiotherapy's not working. They've given me a month to live. And Nadine and I said, absolutely not. We grabbed hands. She was in London, and obviously we were in Tampa, and we said, Lord, there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit, and we've been taking this class, and we just came in faith. We said, Lord, your word says this, and we prayed, and we told her, we said, you may not feel healed, but according to what the word of God says, you are healed. And you keep declaring that over your life. And 1 week later, she went back to the hospital, and the hospital was freaking out because they couldn't find a trace of cancer in her entire body. And you know, I believe that that is just because she said yes. You know how hard it would be to leave your mother dying? I believe that miracle was purely on the goodness of God, but because she decided to say yes. So I want you guys to know this. I paraphrased that, and I'm basically out of time, but I just want to share 2 scriptures, and just I want you guys to hear this in my heart, because my heart is to see the church mobilized. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, it says, walk worthy of the call by which I have called you. And then just a few verses later, it says that he's given the fivefold. He's given the fivefold ministers, right? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen. So, me as a leader in my generation is to equip the people of the church. So that's what we do. We go and we equip people. We just went to Ashtabula, Ohio, because obviously we're not on our mission yet. So we said, okay, well, just because we're not over there, we're going to keep doing ministry. So anytime that we had an opportunity to come up, we went. So we went over there and we trained people of this church to go out and win souls on the street. And the reason I want to share this is because it doesn't matter how old you are. Oh, Josh, you're this young kid, you know. No, it doesn't matter because there's this man. Oh my gosh, my heart for this guy. His name's Chuck. He partnered with us. He's such an awesome man. He preached a little bit when he was little. Cares of this life came, you know, and he's now 65, I want to say. And I trained him that week to go out on the streets and win souls. And the way that we just do it, we just have a script. And, you know, we just teach them because they have no idea. And to see the fire ignited in this man's heart I feel the Holy Ghost. To see the fire ignited in this 65-year-old's heart, he goes, man, Josh, this is so easy. It's so easy. Look, God's using me. God can use you too. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. God can use anyone. And honestly, he's looking to use people because there's people that on your life that you can reach that I can't reach. If I could, I'd reach them. Because God has been made so real to me. But God can't reach those people unless you go. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 through 20, the Bible says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation as though God himself is pleading through us. So now you're seeing with those two scriptures that God has given the ministry to you, not just to the pastor. It's not the pastor's job to go and win everybody to the Lord or lead people to the Lord. If everybody would be mobilized, if everybody would say, Lord, I give you my yes today. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. That's part of it. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. God's just looking for people who will say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? He's not asking you to quit your job, although he has done that to me. I mean, he's done that to me multiple times. You don't know what it's going to look like, but while you're at work, you know, not everybody's called to be a pastor, an evangelist. Some people are called to have an amazing business, to fund the kingdom of God. You see what I'm saying? But in that, wherever you are, Lord, what would you like me to do? That's what it's all about. It doesn't matter where you are. I was leading people to Jesus in the RV factory when I came back. I went to Jayco for 6 months. I was not looking forward to it, but it was fun. I tell you what, it was fun. Because I'm a new creation in Christ. It's not the same Josh that was in the RV factory this time. Now I start asking questions. And stirring people up. People getting saved. Right there on the line between units. It doesn't matter. God can use you anywhere. But all he's looking for is your yes. That's all he's looking for. So I want everybody to bow your heads today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're just moving on people's hearts right now. Speak to your people, Lord. I just want to share this really quick. You can keep your heads bowed. A sermon that changed my life. The Bible says that many are called, few are chosen. A sermon that changed my life is, God, how am I chosen? If many are called but few are chosen, how can I be chosen? And it's saying yes. If you were going to have somebody move, hey, I'm having a moving party, and you walk into a room, everybody's like, oh my gosh, Josh is moving. Don't make eye contact. What do I have? What do I have going on next Tuesday? I don't want to help him move. Good Lord. Nobody likes to move. Okay. Don't make eye contact with Josh. And then there's that one person in the room. Josh, I'll help you move. Okay. Well, I choose you, Nadine. You know, I choose you. God is in this room right now and he's saying, who will allow me to work through them? Don't be the person saying, oh, don't make eye contact with Jesus. Don't make eye contact with Jesus. Be the one saying, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. And the Lord's going to say, well, I choose you. And you're going to begin to see how God begins to move through you. You'll walk into a supermarket and God will be like, go speak to that person. Well, what do I say? Well, I don't know, but just go up there first and then I'll put the words in your mouth. It's about stepping out in faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I'm going to do a consecration call today. If today, during this amazing message, I love this message because it's all about mobilizing the church. If today the Lord has been tugging on your heart about just starting to step out and giving your yes, Lord, I'll help you. I'll help. I'll help with the harvest of souls. I'll help with advancing the kingdom of God. Lord, I want to help. I want to be a part of it. If that's what the Lord is doing on your heart, I just want you to raise your hand today. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to lead you guys in a prayer. I'm going to ask you, everyone, you can look up. Anybody who raised their hand, I just want you to stand and come up here, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer really quick. It's just an easy prayer. I believe that when you come forward, it's like God says if you deny me before man, he'll deny you before the Father. So when you step forward, you're saying, Lord, look at me, I'm here. I will not deny you. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's powerful when you step forward. It's so powerful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads and lift your hands. I want you to say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. I give you my heart. I give you my will, my mind, my emotions, my everything. Lord, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. And I will say what you want me to say. You have me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. What you just did is so powerful. And even this week. Now, this is the thing. It's about yielding. It's all about yielding. I just read a book.